I want to talk to you a little bit today. Did y'all get your fill of cake and stuff like that this morning? Nobody filled up to the rim? Nobody's filled to the rim. How about breakfast? Did you have breakfast this morning? Were you filled to the rim with breakfast? How many of you have been to a smorgasbord or a buffet, as my uncle used to call it, a buffet? He went to be with the Lord, and we have no idea whether he was serious or not about the word buffet. He always said buffet, never said buffet. So maybe someday I'll find out what he said. That was Uncle Nick. He was good. I was at a buffet this week, and I was filled to the rim. Couldn't fill anything more. I can't go to those because I get more than my money's worth. The restaurants don't like me. But I was talking about having big breakfast this morning, and my wife was here, and I said, you know, when I first met her, she was from South Carolina, and she took me down there to meet her parents and stuff, and she said, we're going to have eggs and grits and sausage, and you've heard stories before. What's a grit? Never knew what a grit was. Had them for the first time. Had lots of sausage, had eggs, had homemade biscuits even. And then we got married, and now I haven't seen it for a long time, so I have to go up to Cracker Barrel or someplace like that to get the grits. I do like them. One more quick one. The gravy that they made down south for the grits and stuff, they took the pan of that the sausage was made in, and they took a little water and heated that up with all that grease, and they poured that over their grits. Now, that I could never get used to. Was that good? But anyway, I want to talk about being filled. And have you ever heard that, are you filled to the rim? Does anybody remember an old TV commercial that had to do with the substance that you drank? Coffee. What was the name of it? Brim. I had to look it up to find out, is it still a good coffee? I didn't know if they made it anymore. So I looked it up and it said, are you filled to the rim with brim? I thought, well, that's good now. I could use that and say it because I was scared to death. I would say brim coffee and there was no such thing. But I knew there was. But we want to talk today about the word full or filled and what it means. It means that it's something that's wanted or needed or that is possible to fill you up. You want to be full of it. And we'll be looking at different versions of the word full or filled. We have filled, full, fullness, fulfilled. All these different words are in the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, I know most people are saved, okay, that come to church and things like that. And worship God, but it's just because you're saved doesn't mean you shouldn't grow and be filled with God. I've done sermons before and talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing, but being filled when you're born again, you say, the Holy Spirit has come into me, which He has. God's Spirit has entered you. But then a lot of times people will just stop right there. And they don't go any further in their life with God. So I want to talk about being filled with the Lord or full of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go to Matthew 6. Maybe I should turn it on. Matthew 6, verses 22 to 23. It reads this way. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Notice the word full. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's Jesus Christ talking there. So if your eye is bad, no light can come in and you are left in darkness. Sin or the lack of knowledge of God in your life causes light within you to be dim or dark. This can be both external in your body, how you look, how you portray yourself, and it can also be inward in your thought process about what is right and what is wrong. You can look at it different ways. Now, this badness, I'm going to use that word, I don't know if it's a correct word, this badness can affect your whole being where no goodness can enter into you. Spiritually, a person can be dead. Look at people who are spiritually dead. At least I consider that. Charles Manson, you remember him, many of you. Some of the younger ones might not, but he was a killer, and followers were following him. He loved Satan. Or there's members of ISIS and the terror that they have caused on Christians and their own people. And there are many others we could talk about. You could probably figure out some in your own minds. But Adolf Hitler, for an example, during World War II, killing millions of Jews in the Holocaust. These were people that were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. So we do not need to be spiritually blind, which causes one to be spiritually dead. Now we're going to go back to this. Religion during Jesus' time was based on a tradition. Much of it became man-made traditions and things like that. Jesus was telling all those listening that their superficial earthly religion was leaving their hearts darkened. The Pharisees and Sadducees could not absorb what Jesus Christ was telling them because their hearts were dark. They had no true spiritual vision in their lives. They had no true vision as to what God wanted or expected from him, from them. So spiritual vision is our capacity. Spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly that God wants us to do and to see the world from his point of view. It's very easy to see the world from our own point of view, what we think we should do, what we think should happen. But we're going to find out that it is through God who fills us, if we allow him to fill us, in which direction we're going to turn and what we're going to do with our lives. Learn to follow God. The Pharisees, like I said, had no spiritual vision as to what God wanted. Spiritual insight can be easily clouded in any of us if we're not careful. We can allow our self-serving desires, our self-serving interests, our self-serving goals that we have. They can all block that vision. They can dim that light that's inside of us. Serving God is the best way to restore it. A healthy eye is one that is fixed on God. A healthy eye is one that is fixed on God. Now these, if you're following in your own Bible, all the verses I'm taking are out of the New King James Version. If it's a little bit different, that might be why. I want to go to Psalm 29, verse 4. It says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." What is majesty? Glory. Holy. So the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's full of holiness. So you listen to what God says. He's talking to us right there. His voice is powerful. It's full of majesty. So we should be reading the Word of God. He wants to fill you up. He wants to fill you up with God. Anybody fill up their gas tanks yesterday or whatever? How much did it cost? $40-some. I had somebody said they drive a big pickup truck and pull a camper. He said $90-some to fill it up. Just did that. Well, all of this money that you have to give for your gas, you know what you have to give for God? You don't have to give anything but a little of your time. It doesn't cost you to come to God, to worship him, to praise him, to fill you up with him. It's just reading his word. The voice of the Lord is majesty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, I'm going to read this, but first I want to say, Paul was using sarcasm when he read this, or when he wrote this. Just a little bit of sarcasm. We are never to stop seeking the fulfillment of God. Even when we think we have everything under control, we don't. There are many times I thought I had things under control, until I went to God on my knees, and then I found out I didn't have it under control. And I'm sure many of you have done that in your own lives. But let's look at what it says. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8, you are already full. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians in a sarcastic way. You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Paul was rebuking the Corinthians by giving them heaps of false praise because they were living their own life. They didn't need anything. He was sarcastically suggesting that they were self-satisfied and had already achieved their spiritual greatness. They already thought that they were it. They didn't need anything more. They were similar to the Laodiceans that we read about in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19. I don't have that up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Every time I read this, I have to think of myself, are you cold? Are you hot? Are you just lukewarm? It scares me to even think that if I'm lukewarm, what's going to happen? So I try my best to do what I can to stay close to God. Even in times of sinning, it's easy to repent to God. Because you say, I am rich, this is verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have nothing, and have need of nothing. Now, this is what they're saying, just like the Corinthians. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These people were, they thought they didn't need anything more in their lives. They had it all, and they did it themselves. But they didn't. So I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. I mean, come to God. Take everything and absorb his word. And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Zealous for the Lord. Be anxious for him. Love him with all your heart. So be full of God. Be full of Jesus Christ. Don't be full of yourself. So how do you become full of God? Let's take a look at Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now, if you're looking at an NIV, it says in the second half of that verse, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. They both are the same thing, just different words. So what's a tree of life? A tree of life is a metaphor referring to spiritual renewal and spiritual refreshment in your body and mind. If you came to know Jesus Christ and later in your years, you weren't just a little kid, you were later in your years, think back to that moment when Christ came into your life, into your heart. What happened to your mind? What happened to your heart? What happened to your body? You get to feel a peace and a joy. Even in times of badness, you can feel that. God will fulfill our longings, and this will allow us to grow in your faith and love God and each other. We can never achieve spiritual satisfaction through our own control. Try it someday. Say, God, I don't want any part of you, and then try and have spiritual satisfaction. It's not going to happen. It's impossible to happen. People that follow Satan will tell you, oh, I get it through Satan. No, they don't. No, they don't. And they really won't at the end of their life. Because when you're in hell, there is no satisfaction there, no matter how much they think. We can never achieve that through our own control. God has exalted Christ over everything, including the church. What's the church? Us. Christians are the church, not just this building, all Christians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. This is what he says. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus Christ is our fulfillment. Jesus Christ is our fulfillment. Now I want to go to Ephesians 3. This also is a lengthy one, so I didn't put it up on the board. But in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, Paul was writing here to the Ephesians. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge." Now listen to the last one. "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's how you gain the fullness of God, is through his word. Songs are wonderful. You sing them, they get you up. You feel good. You're singing praises to the Lord. But that doesn't fill you with what you truly need. What you truly need is what God says in his word. Because if you don't know his word, then it's so easy to be fooled. We need to know it. Now, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He used four different dimensions to describe the immensity of God's love. He used the first one, its width. The width reminds us that his arms reach around the globe. It isn't just here at Grace. It isn't just here in Schuylkill County. It's around the world. His reach goes that far, and it has been for many, many years. On the cross, Jesus' hands were stretched out into all the world and for all the world to grasp him. All of these other religions that are out there, they're not going to go to heaven. I'm sorry if you disagree with me. The only way you're going to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I said that one time to someone many, many, many years ago when I was born again. I never saw her again because she thought some of her best friends were of the Islamic faith. I apologize, but I got to go with what God says. Is God right? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Then, of course, that's the only way to get to heaven. If there was other ways, why would Jesus Christ die on a cross, the most horrible death that you could possibly have? Why would he die on the cross for us if you could go other ways? There's no reason for it. Now, its length reminds us that his love extends from eternity past to eternity future. It existed before the foundation of this world and will exist after the world's end. That's how far it goes. Its depth. The depth reminds us that his love addresses the deepest needs of the human heart. How many times have you been blessed in your life because of your love for Christ, because of the prayers that you've committed to God? God loves sinners, no matter who they are, where they're from, or what they've done. It doesn't matter. God still loves us. Now, its height. Its height reaches to the very throne of God. Where are you going to be when you leave this earth? You're going to be with God on his throne. It ain't going to be here at Grace. Out of love, Jesus came down from heaven, and he lifts us up to his level. Anyone who chooses to believe in him. No one can climb up on their own. It doesn't happen. You cannot climb up to God. God has to pull you up, and that pull is through Jesus Christ. When God makes his home in the hearts of his people and the Holy Spirit fills them with his presence, they begin to understand who chooses to believe, because no one can climb up. God will fill you with his love through that length and depth and width and breadth. Filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. Now, many religions have what they believe are holy sites or buildings. But the God of love has chosen you to be his dwelling place, if you're willing. The God who created the universe is not impressed by our buildings or shrines or any of that stuff. And I'm going to show you why he's not impressed with them. Look at Isaiah 66, verses 1 to 2. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. The Lord is looking for a person who is humble, for a person who takes his word very seriously. And that's what I'm here talking about today. We are to take God's word very seriously. God's word is your Bible. God's word is your Bible. We are to take it very seriously, even to the point of obedience. God and his love will live inside of that person who takes his word into their hearts. Now, we were created for love. Okay? You are made in the image of God, and he is the God of love. Your purpose is to give love and receive love. That is you and God and you united in love. This is why Jesus came to earth, so that he could restore our ultimate purpose of a holy relationship with God. It is through knowing God heart to heart that we come to experience his love. We are missionaries, whether you want to think that way or not. What does the sign say when you're leaving the parking lot? Anybody remember? Enter into your mission field. We are missionaries. Your mission is to experience and reveal the love of God, just as Jesus did, just as he did. Jesus continues to reveal the Father through his body, us, the church, which includes all of you, if you are willing. God desires to fill us with the fullness of himself. First, we must receive power through the Holy Spirit to have the ability to receive Christ into our heart. This is God's grace, whereby he does the work in you. He says, Gary, come to me. If Gary didn't come, he's offering Gary everything that he could offer him. If Gary doesn't want it, sorry, Gary, I just had to use your voice. We know Gary loves the Lord. We know that the only way we're going to be with him is through his grace. Now, the second thing is the entrance into Christ, into your heart by faith. It is God's part to do grace. It is our part to have faith. The Holy Spirit in you is proof of God's love for you. In 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Your faith is proof of your love for God. However, faith without works is dead. That's what James said. So faith without obedience is not faith. Obedience to God proves your faith. Obedience to God proves your faith. So through his word, you are obeying God. If you want to. In John 14, 21 to verse 23, Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That is, I guess, the main purpose of my message today, is to keep his word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Our love for Jesus is proven by keeping his word. And what's the ultimate way to keep God's word? It's by focusing our mind on his word to the point of obedience. Obey his word as best you can. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. Every one of us. But through that repentant heart and through the love of Christ, we are all God's family. He forgives us just like a father forgives their own son and daughter. The fruit of obedience is God revealing himself to you. The fruit of obedience is God revealing himself to you. Jesus promises to reveal or manifest, same thing, reveal or manifest himself to the one who keeps his word. He also promises that he and the Father will come and make their home with that person who keeps his word. If you want to have a supernatural revelation with Jesus Christ or of Jesus, then determine in your heart to do everything he tells you. You ever notice how some people just seem to be everywhere they go and people they talk to and things they touch is just like God's with them. You could see it in them. This means that when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you do it. You do it to the best you can. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you'll become more sanctified. What does that mean? You become more holy, more pure. Your spirit is pure and holy, which causes God to live in you more fully. You're filled to the rim. Filled to the rim. It causes you to experience God and his love more fully. Think about that. It is so easy to do. All you have to do is read his word. He's not even telling you to memorize it or dig real deep. He's just telling you to read it and let him do the work inside of you. If you don't read it, start off with one or two verses and work your way up over time, because God will make you want, or he'll give you that desire to want to do so. So I want to ask you, are you filled today not with brim? Are you filled today with God in your lives? Are you filled today with God in your lives? Let's go to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, dear God. We thank you for how easy it is for us to come to you, Father. All we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all our strength. It is so easy to do. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone in here today that doesn't truly know you, that they would come and would be happy to pray for them. I also pray, Father, that you'll be with everyone in this room, that they will go out onto that mission field, as our sign says in the parking lot. They are entering the mission world, and all they have to do is tell someone about Jesus Christ. I ask all these things in his name. Amen.